Good evening for February 19th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time, 21:37 hours, soon to be 38 hours Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Time, as they call it nowadays. The study for today in the Crucible of Credible Creed, or C-cubed, or C-3, is Chapter 6, Paragraph 10, the predecessor of Pharaoh Khamos in the Southern Kingdom. Predecessor, if you're not familiar with that word, as some of us are not, I'm sure, means the one who came before. In the Southern Kingdom, the Pharaoh who came before Pharaoh Khamos was Pharaoh Sekenenri Tau. And it is said that he fought Pharaoh Apophis, who was the king of the Delta region in the north, as we've been talking about. I think this chapter is about Apophis, is it not? Yes, it is, and it's about his daughter, Herod. He ruled perhaps only a few years, this Sekenenri Tau, in the south. Now, southern Egypt was the major, you know, ruling portion of Egypt later, and perhaps even prior to this, but later than after the Hyksos were driven out of the Delta region, the rulership was, at least for some time, in the south. During the time of Ramesses II, he was ruling in 1315 BCE in our chronology. From that point, he ruled for 66 years after that. And that's later, because Apophis ruled from 1583, we're saying, in our chronology. So that's, well over 200 years later, Ramesses II ruled, and he ruled from the north, and he established his kingdom capital in the north. But, around this time, the kingdom became dominated by the south, because the southern king of Egypt drove out the Hyksos during the time of Amos the First, who came after this king Khamos and Sekenenri Tau. Now, Sekenenri Tau ruled and is mentioned in the literary tradition of the late New Kingdom, wherein he was said to have been given an ultimatum by that Hyksos king from the north about the hippopotamus pool at Thebes. According to tradition, now Thebes was in the south, Pharaoh and Apophis was in the north, but according to this tradition, Pharaoh Apophis was disturbed by the noise of the beasts. We have the letter that he wrote. It's an ultimatum. And the noise of the beasts, which was preventing his sleep, he claimed, at his yet faraway city of the north, Avaris. Pharaoh Sekenenri Tau was possibly the first southern king to war with the Hyksos as the south fought for liberation. Jesus said, "He who takes the sword will die by the sword." That's why we don't fight, obviously. But today's scripture, little children, Ecclesiastes 8 and 8, the proverb, "There is no man having power over the spirit to restrain the spirit, neither is there any power of control in the day of death, nor is there any discharge in the war." Look at that. The war is even in the scripture. I didn't even realize that. "And wickedness will provide no escape for those indulging in it." That is an astounding scripture, is it not? Because many people use different things as escape. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, it's cigarettes, vaping, drugs, alcohol, you name it. The list goes on and on, but look what it says. Look what that says. It says wickedness will provide wickedness will not provide escape either. But wickedness will provide no escape for those indulging in it. I mean, that is a revelation for a lot of us. I mean, for me, it was like a revelation. Really? Wickedness will provide no escape for those indulging in it? Is that true? That's sort of the thought that first comes to mind when you read that. If you've been taught otherwise. Many people teach the opposite of that. In the world, certainly, that seems to be a common idea, that this is an escape for people. They use drugs, alcohol. All those things are poisons. They just lead to your health declining at a younger age. That's all that happens there. There's no benefit in that, because health is everything. Oh, I had arthritis today. Oh, my God. I had this arthritis in my right thumb, and I was like, "What? Where'd that come from?" Then I realized I hadn't taken my MK7 form of vitamin K2 yet, with my vitamin D that I take every day, twice a day. And I hadn't taken it this morning. And after I took it, the arthritis vanished completely, like it always does. This time it took a little longer than normal, but the reason why, I think, it usually goes away, and like I've had arthritis, the pain goes away, not the arthritis, but the pain. The bump will take weeks to go away, or, you know, days, weeks, months to go away, depending how bad it is. But the pain goes away in 5 seconds. I've had that in my left thumb. Okay, wait a minute. I got a little pain in my left thumb right now, but it's not bad. It goes away. I have no pain at all in my right thumb, and I think it was pain because I was smashing with the small sledgehammer, trying to get through the gnarly wood that I was splitting yesterday, and just really, really. Normally, when you have arthritis, it can be exacerbated, or increased, or aggravated by using your hand, if it's in the hands, right? When you're using the joints that have arthritis, it gets worse when you're using it. Typically, or it can, but that's what happened here, and it wasn't in the joint, because I had pain bending it, but normally, if it's in the joint, I can press on the joint, and there's pain when I press it, but I didn't have that. It was just when I flex it, there was pain. But this arthritis, within about less than an hour, went away because of the supplement. That's the cure for arthritis. Most people won't care if they don't have arthritis, but if you have arthritis, you may care about, only the people who do have arthritis will possibly care about this. Then if they do care, that's the cure, D3 plus MK7 form of vitamin K2. D3 plus K2, with the K2 in the MK7 form. I take 6 at one time for my arthritis, so 6,000 units of vitamin D3 and plus the 700 micrograms of vitamin K2. Is 6 times 120. Okay. Let's read 1 Chronicles 9. As for all Israelites, they were enrolled genealogically, and there they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. Before we start that, 1 Chronicles 6, I was talking about yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that when I took the sons of the priests, Aaron's sons, right, Eleazar and Ithamar, and Eleazar had the son Phinehas had the son Abishua, and so on. It's a list of 14 generations down here to the time of Solomon in verse 10. So I calculated the 14 generations from the time of Solomon, with Solomon's date being BCE 1017 in our chronology, when he began to rule, and with the time of the, using the time of the Exodus, I believe is what I use, because that was the time when Aaron was 80 years old, or 83 years old, I believe, at the Exodus. He was 3 years older than Moses, according to the Bible. So, yeah, his sons must have been of age at that time, just after they came out of Egypt, so that's a good time to use in the calculation. So 1452 minus, or 1492. Let me do the calculation. 1493. It could have been 1450 that I used, because that was when they crossed the Jordan. Let's see, 1452 minus 1017 bracket divided by 14. Yeah, that's what I used, 1452 until 1017 BCE. It's 31 years per generation. That was where I got it from. So, yeah, just, yeah, FYI. So, 1 Chronicles 9. The Israelites were enrolled genealogically and written in the books of the kings of Israel, and Judah itself was taken into exile at Babylon for their unfaithfulness. See, Chronicles is sort of a summary of all the previous history and all the generations, all the genealogies. And the first inhabitants that were in their possession in their cities were the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and the Nethinim. And in Jerusalem, there dwelt some of the sons of Judah, and some of the sons of Benjamin, and some of the sons of Ephraim and Manasseh. Uthai? I think I'm going to say, when it's not accented, I'm going to pronounce it as A. Uthai, the son of Ammihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, of the sons of Perez, the short I being pronounced E. The son of Judah, and of the Shilonites, Asaiah, because the I is accented, the firstborn and his sons, and of the sons of Zerah, Jeuel, or Joel, I guess we could maybe say, but Jeuel, it looks like it's pronounced there, it's separated in two vowels, and 690 brothers of theirs, and of the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshullam, the son of Hodaviah, the son of Hasanua, and Ibniah, because the E's accented, the son of Jeroham, and Elah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Mikri, and Meshullam, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Royal. I want to say Royal because of the way that's spelled there. The U accented, but the EU is kind of a unit of a vowel combination. The son of Ibnijah was Royal. And the brothers of theirs by their descendants were 956. Reminds me, this watch is a $900 watch, just about exactly, something like 956. But it had a problem. I want to wear it every day because it's a nice watch, first of all, but it's lived dusty. But also because if I wind it manually, it didn't have any trouble when I first got it, but then it started to develop a problem where the clutch was not working, so it would grind all the gears when I was winding it. And I don't understand everything that was... I forget the reasoning behind all of that. But it's not good. So I decided I better wear it and let it wind itself. Now I can wind it manually. It doesn't seem to have the problem right now. But it's something like the oil... Not enough lubrication or something, possibly, or some other issue. But, you know, and the other watch is $350. This one... Gully, it's $350, and the stem comes out when I pull out. I just found that out recently. When I pull it out to set the time, I can pull the stem right out of it, which is not right. For $350, you wouldn't think that would happen. But it won't come out normally, as long as I keep it pushed in, which you do always keep it. So, anyway. But that is not an automatic watch. It has to be wound manually, and it winds really well. Every 2 days it needs winding, and it's pretty good. 48 hours is a pretty good power reserve on a mechanical wind-up watch. But anyway, and the brothers of theirs, by their descendants, were 956. All these were men that were heads of the fathers by the house of their forefathers. And of the priests, there were Judea and Jehoiarib, and Jachin, and Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraioth, the son of Ahitub, a leader of the house of the true God, and Adaiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pasher, the son of Malchijah, and Maaseh, the son of Adiel, the son of Jazira, the son of Meshullam, the son of Meshillameth, the son of Immer, and their brothers, heads of the house of their forefathers, 1,760, mighty men of ability for the work of the service of the house of the true God. And of the Levites, there were Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azricam, the son of Hashabiah, from the sons of Merari, and Bakbakar, Heresh, and Galal, and Mataniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph, and Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, who was dwelling in the settlements of the Netophathites. And the gatekeepers were Shalom, and Akab, and Talmon, and Ahiman, and their brother Shalom the head, and up till then he was in the king's gate to the east. These were the gatekeepers of the camps of the sons of Levi, and Shalom the son of Korah, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah. That Korah is being spelled K-O-R-A-H instead of the first Korah there, K-O-R-E. And of Korah, A-H, and his brothers of the house of his father, the Korahites, over the work of the service, the doorkeepers of the tent, and their fathers over the camp of Jehovah, the keepers of the entryway. And it was Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, that happened to be leader over them in the past. Jehovah was with him. Zechariah, the son of Shelemiah, was the gatekeeper of the entrance of the tent of meeting. All of them who were selected as gatekeepers at the thresholds were 212. They were in their settlements by their genealogical enrollment. These David and Samuel the seer ordained in their trust of office. Their office of trust, rather. And they and their sons were over the gates of the house of Jehovah, even the house of the tent for guard service. It was to the four directions that the gatekeepers came to be, to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south. And by the way, the three ribs mentioned in the prophecy in the book of Daniel, where the bear had the three ribs, the empire, the bear that represented the Medes and the Persians in one of the visions of Daniel. The three ribs in the mouth of the bear, a rib means side. Also, that's why when the rib of Adam was taken from Adam and made into a woman by Jehovah, that rib meant side. So the side of Adam, his feminine side, which was the X chromosome, was taken from him and made into a woman with two X chromosomes. The side, the three ribs in the bear, in the bear's mouth, in the prophecy of Daniel, in his vision, signify the directions that the Medo-Persian Empire moved. They went, they expanded in three different directions, so it can signify that. And the brothers in their settlements were to come in for 7 days from time to time along with these, for in office of trust, there were four mighty men of the gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they proved to be in charge of the dining rooms and of the treasures of the house of the true God. And all around the house of the true God they would spend the night, for guard service was upon them, and they were in charge of the key, even to open up from morning to morning. And some of them were in charge of the utensils of the service, for it was by number that they would bring them in, and it was by number that they would take them out. And some of them were men appointed over the utensils and over all the holy utensils and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the frankincense and the balsam oil. And some of the sons of the priests were makers of the ointment mixture of balsam oil. And Mattathiah of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shalom the Korahite, was in the office of trust over the things baked in pans. And some of the sons of the Kohathites, their brothers, were in charge of the layer bread to prepare it, Sabbath by Sabbath. And these were the singers, the heads of the fathers of the Levites in the dining rooms, those set free from duty, for by day and by night it was their responsibility to be in the work. These were the heads of the fathers of the Levites by their descendants, headmen. These were the ones that dwelt in Jerusalem. And in Gibeon was where the father of Gibeon, Giel, dwelt, and his wife's name was Maacah. And his son, the firstborn, was Abdon, and Zur, and Kish, and Baal, and Ner, and Nadab, and Gedor, and Ahio, and Zechariah, and Mikloth. As for Mikloth, he became father to Shimeam. Some of these names, I think, are repeated from earlier in 1 Chronicles. And it was really they that dwelt in front of their brothers in Jerusalem, along with brothers of theirs. And this is a repetition in verse 39 of Saul's genealogy. As for Ner, he became father to Kish. Kish in turn became father to Saul. Saul in turn became father to Jonathan and Malchishua and Abinadab and Eshbaal. And the son of Jonathan was Meribbaal. As for Meribbaal, he became father to Micah. And the sons of Micah were Pithon and Melech, and Tariah and Ahaz. As for Ahaz, he became father to Jerah. Jerah in turn became father to Alameth and Asmaveth and Zimri. Zimri in turn became father to Mozah. As for Mozah, he became father to Biniah and Rephaiah, his son, Eliezer his son, Azel his son. And Azel had six sons, and these were their names, Azricam, Bokeru, and Ishmael, and Sheariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. And that's the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 9. We want to start looking at Daniel. just realized. I did read it. It's very short. It's like 18 verses or something. 21. Yeah, it's one of the shorter chapters in Daniel, I think. We're going to see some short chapters in the later prophets. We're not going to have long studies later on because most of the later minor prophets, like Zechariah and Nahum and Habakkuk and all these other prophets that were later in the Bible, later in the Old Testament, that are the minor prophets, their chapters are short. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, there was a matter revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the matter was true. You notice the year, third year of Cyrus, that would be because Cyrus conquered Babylon in 539. His first official year would be 538. So his third year is probably something like 536 BCE. And the matter was true, and there was a great military service. This matter revealed to Daniel, and he understood the matter, and he had an understanding in the things seen. In those days, Daniel writes, Daniel 10 and 2, I myself, Daniel, happened to be mourning for 3 full weeks, grieving. He says, dainty bread I did not eat, and no flesh or wine entered into my mouth, and in no way did I grease myself until the completing of the 3 full weeks. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I myself happened to be on the bank of the great river, that is, Hiddekel, I also proceeded to raise my eyes and see, and here was a certain man, the river Hiddekel, on the bank of the river Hiddekel. Here was a certain man clothed in linen, with his hips girded with gold of Uphaz, and his body was like chrysolite, and his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like fiery torches, and his arms and the place of his feet were like the sight of burnished copper. And the sound of his words was like the sound of a crowd. And I saw, I, Daniel, by myself, the appearance. But as for the men that happened to be with me, they did not see the appearance. He saw a vision. It's kind of like when Paul was struck by lightning, or a bright light. It wasn't lightning, but a bright light struck Paul and knocked him to the ground, and no one around him saw anything that he saw. Like, he was the only one who saw the vision. In this case, too, Daniel saw this man like chrysolite with a face like lightning. It doesn't mean it was lightning. He just looked like lightning. And the men around Daniel didn't see anything. However, there was a great trembling that fell upon them, and so that they went running away and hiding. So they knew that something was happening. Perhaps they saw the great light, such as in Paul's case also. I'm trying to think. It said he was hearing the sound, or they were hearing the sound and not seeing anything, or they weren't seeing. They saw the light but didn't hear the words. In the case of, you know, in Paul's case, he describes more about it in the book of Acts, where he was on the road to Damascus. Is it chapter 8 of Acts? No. Is it? I'm thinking it is. We have a little bit of time, but we better not get distracted. Let's see what we can find here. Let's search for Damascus, I guess, would be the way to find it. Probably. Acts 9. That's it. Acts 9. As he was traveling to Damascus, Paul said, a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Anyway, this story goes on. The men that were journeying with him were standing speechless, hearing indeed the sound of a voice, but not beholding any man. So they heard the voice, but they didn't see anything in Paul's case. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. Now, this was not Jesus in this case. I don't believe, was it? Who was it? It hasn't told us who it was. It could be Gabriel or some angel. His body was like Gabriel, because Gabriel was an angel. The sound of his words was like the sound of a crowd. His eyes were like fiery torches, and his arms and the place of his feet were like the sight of burnished copper, and the sound of his words was like the sound of a crowd. And I saw, I, Daniel, by myself, the appearance. But they didn't see it, right? Okay, so they ran away and hid, because they were scared, and they didn't know what was going on, but evidently they saw or heard something, or felt something. And Daniel says, and I, verse 8, I was left remaining by myself, so that I saw this great appearance, and there was left remaining in me no power, and my own dignity became changed upon me to ruination, and I retained no power. And I began hearing the sound of his words, and while I was hearing the sound of his words, I myself also happened to be fast asleep upon my face, with my face to the earth. And look, there was a hand that touched me, and it gradually stirred me up to get upon my knees and the palms of my hands. Now, I tell in my life, the Bible is in me somehow. So I don't even, I'm not even aware of it. But I'll say things one day, and then 2 days later, I'll find I'm reading that part of the Bible where it talks about something similar. I didn't plan it that way. That's not something I planned. And it's the same with movies. I watch a movie, and if I've seen the movie before, I'll say something, and then, you know, 30 seconds later in the movie, or even sometimes 5 seconds or 2 seconds later, the same thing is said in the movie that I just said, because I've watched the movie before and it's stored in my subconscious memory. It's just astonishing what the human mind is capable of. So he got up on his knees, his hands and knees, that's what we would say. And Daniel's on his hands and knees by this time. He's gotten up to his hands and knees, and this human appearance who had appeared to Daniel proceeded to say to Daniel, O Daniel, you very desirable man, I have understanding in the words. No, he says, O Daniel, you very desirable man, have understanding in the words that I am speaking to you. Understand what I'm saying to you, and stand up where you were standing, for now I have been sent to you. And when he spoke with me this word, I did stand up, shivering. And when he went on to say to me, do not be afraid, O Daniel. And he went on to say to me, do not be afraid, because Daniel was shivering. Do not be afraid, O Daniel, for from the first day that you gave your heart to understanding and humbling yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I myself have come because of your words. But the prince of the royal realm of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. And look, Michael, one of the foremost princes, Michael, came to help me. And I, for my part, remained there besides the kings of Persia. Well, Michael, the archangel. That's the resurrected Jesus, is what we think. He's called one of the foremost princes in this verse 13 of Daniel chapter 10. And I have come, sounds like it's Gabriel to me, I don't know why I think that, and I have come to cause you to discern what will befall your people in the final part of the days, because it is a vision yet for the days to come. Got about 6 hours sleep last night, I think. It was like a 10, went to bed at 9:20, got up, I went back to bed around 15, what was it? 54 or something, but then I stayed back in bed for a little longer. So it was, you know, but I wasn't really sleeping after that. 15, I forget the exact time, but it's in my notebook. I don't think we have time to look at it right now. And I remained there beside the kings of Persia. He was fighting with the royal realm of Persia. Verse 14, and I have come to cause you to discern what will befall your people in the final part of the days, because it is a vision yet for the days ahead. Now when he spoke with me words like these, I had set my face to the earth and had become speechless. So he fell down again. And look, one similar to the likeness of the sons of mankind was touching my lips. And I began to open my mouth and to speak and to say to the one who was standing in front of me, O my Lord, because of the appearance, my convulsions were turned within me, and I did not retain any power. So how was the servant of this my Lord able to speak with this my Lord? And as for me, up to now there kept standing in me no power, and no breath at all was left remaining in me. And the one like the appearance of an earthling man proceeded to touch me again and strengthen me. Then he said, "Do not be afraid, O very desirable man. May you have peace. Be strong. Yes, be strong." And as soon as he spoke with me, I exerted my strength and finally said, "Let my Lord speak, because you have strengthened me." So he went on to say, "Do you really know why I have come to you? And now I shall go back to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am going forth, look, also the prince of Greece is coming. However, I shall tell you the thing noted down in the writing of truth, and there is no one holding strongly with me in these things but Michael, the prince of your people." That's the end of Daniel 10. So Michael is evidently the prince of the Jews, but he's evidently the resurrected Jesus, and that very, very verse, 10:21 of Daniel, is probably why we think that, because it says it right there. I was 1542, it was, when I, that's the last time I really was asleep, from 9:20, that's 6 hours and 22 minutes, basically, total, although I got up once in the interim. So, you know, I didn't need a lot of sleep last night, but some nights I get too much sleep. Other nights, because I get up and then I go back to bed, if I fall asleep, I'll be in bed again for 2 hours, or six hours sometimes. So I don't want to go back to bed unless I need that much more sleep, you know. So I take what I can get, and today I feel perfect as far as no sleep deprivation or anything. We've got about 1 minute left, and we don't need to read anything else, do we? We've finished, so that was good. But I need to sort of prepare what I was telling you. Oh, by the way, the end of 1 Chronicles 6, it's not really genealogies toward the end of it. It talks about some other things. So we skipped that when we were doing that. That was an 80-verse long chapter or something. So, but that's why we skipped it. But it's not really the same as the rest of Chronicles, but we should really cover that at some point when we get time, I guess. In the third year of Cyrus the king, and we skipped something else other days too, like parts of Daniel we skipped. In the third year of Cyrus, that's chapter 10, right, what we just did, there's a prophecy of the king of the north coming up. There's a king of the south mentioned here, right? And it's talking about that. That's Daniel chapter 11. And, oh yeah, the wars that take place between Syria and Egypt under the latter monarchy is what he calls the king of the north and south. I think that's what he's talking about, yeah. But that's what he calls it. That's the end of our study for today, Monday, February 19th, 2024 of the Common Era, 22:11, great number, 22 being double 11, right, 22:11 hours Eastern Standard Time, Ward Green with you, Ward Green being me. I love you very much. Look, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, in my behalf, saying bye for now.